WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. This is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Today, and that is what our focus is today, on Dr. King and his works. During the less than 13 years of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s leadership of the modern American civil rights movement, from December of 1955 until April the 4th, 1968, African Americans achieved more genuine progress toward racial equality in America than the previous 350 years had produced. Dr. King is widely regarded as America's preeminent advocate of nonviolence and one of the greatest nonviolent leaders in the world's history. I'd like to remind you there's a special tribute to Dr. King today. It begins with a march at Central Magnet School. Everyone's encouraged to be there and gather around 11:30 this morning. They're going to have hot chocolate. That's not bad to have on a 28-degree morning if you're outside. And the march will begin precisely at noon today at Central Magnet School and go toward the Patterson Community Center, where there are some special programs there at the Patterson Community Center today. In addition to those programs here in Murfreesboro, the Children's Discovery Center at Murphy Spring, they have some special programs throughout the day today, honoring the memory of Dr. King. And those are a few of the topics we're going to be talking about today, but we thought today would also be a great day to listen to Dr. King and some of his speeches that have said so much to so many. We're going to be listening to those as well today. So stay with
us. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of service, and his day shall be a day of service.
He inspired us in words.
Everybody can be great.
But he led us in deeds.
Because everybody can serve.
To honor him, let's do the same. Go to mlkday.gov and find out how to volunteer on Martin Luther King Day and beyond. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
And that's just an example of the type that we're going to be hearing today. So you need to stay with us. Much more to come right here on WGNS. And we will have a step back in time in just a moment as we go back to some earlier years and hear directly from Dr. King himself. We will have that in just a moment.
New at Ford of Murfreesboro is the 2013 Ford Fusion Hybrid and Fusion Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Fusion Energy has plug-in technology to further your charge, which means that you'll get amazing gas mileage. The new plug-in Fusion becomes America's most fuel-efficient sedan in 2013 with a rating of 108 miles per gallon in city driving. Visit fordofmurfreesboro.com at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We are offering free exterior cleaning and time checks on all fine timepieces by our two watch technicians. Come in this month for your free cleaning and time check.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. We don't have 8 great locations. There's just one Bell Jewelers. And just because we're not one of the big chains doesn't mean you can't get good values at Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
This is Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have a wide selection of the Watkins products. We have the Watkins vanilla flavoring. We have a lot of your other flavorings like lemon, peppermint. This is Tina at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have everything those farmers will need. We have everything from fencing to chicken coops to wire to gloves to do those outside activities, anything the farmer would need. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Mantuvo el equipo. Mantuvo su compromiso. Se arriesgaba. Llevó una vida audaz. Y aunque murió joven, rindió toda una vida en términos de servicio y de dar fe. En sus 39 años, logró...
No matter what language it is, the message is the same. Dr. Martin Luther King talked about peace. He talked about following your dreams. And he talked about equal opportunities for everyone. And that is what today is all about. We're learning today about some of the goals that Dr. King had, some of the things that he wanted everyone to be aware of. And that's what Martin Luther King Jr. Day is all about. We're going to be hearing some of the talks that he did and some of the moments that were so much a part of history. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And if you have some memories of Dr. King, there are many of you who probably remember very clearly where you were when you heard about his I Have a Dream speech. There are many of you who remember where you were precisely on the day that you learned that he had been assassinated. We'd like to hear from you as well today, because these are all a part of the memories that you have of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King and all of his talks.
In August of 1958. At that time, it's very difficult for black people to register to vote. So he agreed to come to speak and to lend of his spirit to the correct the fault of the correct segregation. At that time, blacks were required to, if they were permitted to vote, to give their name, age, and everything figured out in days, months, and years. And then if you were smart enough to do that, to ask a question like to interpret the Constitution. How many bubbles in the bar soap? How high is up? Anything that's ridiculous to keep you from registering to vote if you went that far. So Reverend King agreed to come to address the problem of voter registration and to have a workshop. King and I were good friends. He was president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and I was president of the United Christian Movement. And also I was both vice president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and served on his board. Reverend Stewart, who was a pastor of Galilee Baptist Church at that time, agreed to let us use the church for this purpose. People came out more than I expected at that time because it was very critical. The segregationists were in charge. Police were not friendly, but the people came. And I think they heard one of the earliest speeches by Dr. King that's ever recorded. I think this is that particular speech. It must have been about 500 or 600 people. And the cars that were parked outside were all given tickets. Some of the windshields were broken. Some of them had sand in the gas tank. And many negative things to discourage you from actually being there. So these people had no fear. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be able to register to vote, to be a citizen of this country. This, to me, is his greatest speech, because you can hear the ministers and people in their background responding. Can't give you a graphic picture of it, but a word picture, if you listen to it, gives you just how the people felt that. You felt that they wanted to be free, that they enjoyed it. They knew the threats, they knew the harm, they knew the danger, but it just didn't matter to them. Freedom was more important than anything else in their lives. I think King just filled everything he had inside. He gave part of the present, the past, and the future in this speech. I think very clearly. It's an emotional speech. He gives what he feels. He's uninhibited. The people loved him. And you just feel the Spirit of God throughout the whole speech. You could just feel his presence. King gave a beautiful picture of everything. I think it's a cry, a plea.
This is an introduction to the speech that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave in Shreveport back in August of 1958. Many, many years. This was one of the early talks at the beginning of the civil rights movement.
Even when the Red Sea opens, they will even venture to go out there and bring oppressed people back under the yoke of oppression. Privileged groups never give up their privileges without strong resistance. And if we understand this lesson of history, we will understand what is happening all over the South today.
That's right.
The white man is not defending what he thinks is morally right. He is defending what he believes is economically profitable. What the white South is fighting for today is to maintain its privileges. There was a time that some sincere men, I imagine, dreamed a dream back in 1896, and they had the dream in their minds that some such strange phenomenon as separate but equal could be a reality. And so they rendered a decision, the Plessy versus Ferguson decision. And after 1896, the years unfolded, and everything was centered toward the separate, but never was there a real move toward the equal.
That's just a sort of an excerpt from that famous speech at Galilee in Shreveport, Louisiana, August 14th, 1958. We're trying to cover a lot of history today, and we know that there's a lot of history that we need to cover in a relatively short time, but we're trying to get a feel of Dr. King's works and a feel of the mood of the time. There was a period of time that Dr. King was in jail in Birmingham. Perhaps you were in that area when that happened. Perhaps you know about it. Perhaps you've heard about it, read about it, those of you who are younger. And this was 1963, Birmingham, Alabama. Dr. King, while incarcerated, thought this would be a great opportunity to do some talks, put together ideas that later became known as Letters from the Birmingham Jail. Perhaps some of the more remembered thoughts from Dr. King. Let's step back in those times.
In order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice, is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law. Of course, there is nothing new about this kind of civil disobedience. It was evident sublimely in the refusal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to obey the laws of Nebuchadnezzar on the ground that a higher moral law was at stake. It was practiced superbly by the early Christians who were willing to face hungry lives.
This is McCombs management professor James Fredrickson.
Rather than submit to certain unjust laws of the Roman Empire. To a degree, academic freedom is a reality today because Socrates practiced civil disobedience. In our own nation, the Boston Tea Party represented a massive act of civil disobedience. We should never forget that everything Adolf Hitler did in Germany was legal, and everything the Hungarian freedom fighters did in Hungary was illegal. It was illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. Even so, I am sure that had I lived in Germany at the time, I would have aided and comforted my Jewish brothers. If today I lived in a communist country where certain principles dear to the Christian faith are suppressed, I would openly advocate disobeying that country's anti-religious laws.
That's Macomb's University professor James Fredrickson, and he was talking about Martin Luther King's letters from the Birmingham jail, talking about the talks that he did based on that time. Dr. King was also in Lincoln Park, and he spoke on justice, wisdom, and love. And that was a very important part of all of his talks. Justice, wisdom, and love. And in addition to that particular talk, he later had what probably was one of his better remembered talks about I Have a Dream. And we're going to be listening to that this morning as well. But right now, let's listen a little bit to this one.
This business of burning human beings with napalm, filling our nation's homes with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate into the veins of peoples normally humane, sending men home from dark and bleak battlefields to civilians.
Just a few excerpts there. Wisdom, justice, and love. A tribute today to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Once again, there will be a special march here in Murfreesboro, and everyone's encouraged to be at Central Magnet School at 11:30 this morning. A little bit cool outside, 29 degrees right now, but they will have plenty of hot chocolate for everyone to help you warm up, and then a short walk over to the Patterson Community Center. That begins precisely at noon today. From Central Magnet School over to the Patterson Community Center, and then once everyone arrives at the Patterson Community Center, there will be programs dealing with Dr. King throughout this day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We will continue our tribute to Dr. King in just a moment. Stay with us here on WGNS. Good morning. It is 8:28. Since 1940, your first choice for air conditioning and heating repairs has been Roscoe Brown. Now, when you have plumbing problems, it's also Roscoe Brown. You can depend on Roscoe Brown for any type of plumbing service and innovative plumbing solutions. Roscoe Brown is fully licensed, bonded, and insured, and fully qualified to assist with heating, air conditioning, and now plumbing. Roscoe Brown. Phone 888-MY-ROSCOE.
Chronic pain? Put a little Revsane on it. Feeling out of balance? Put a little Revsane on it. With prescription compounding, Revsane's custom formulated pain remedy, our pharmacists can make your medication work more effectively. Personalized healthcare like this is just one part of Live Well, Be Well, Revsane's program to help you feel right, stay healthy, and get better. To learn more, stop by Revsane on Memorial Boulevard, just across from Middle Tennessee Christian School. Call 896-5731 or visit revsane.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Light traffic in Murfreesboro. No reports of accidents or incidents. We have light congestion. Old Fort Parkway at Chapin Place. Old Fort Parkway at Kayson Lane. I-24 at 96. Broad Church, Broad at Memorial. And I-24 at 231 with light traffic for us this morning. If you're looking for a new career, did you know that some bartenders make $100 to $300 per shift? Call Professional Bartending School of Nashville. Jobs are in demand right now. Call Professional Bartending School of Nashville, 885-5800. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see sunny skies developing in our forecast today with an afternoon high temperature in the lower 40s. And expect partly cloudy conditions tonight with lows near 17 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Danisky. Right now, it's 28.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Two powerful FM signals, one AM signal, and worldwide on WGNSradio.com. You can listen to us anywhere. We are WGNS Murfreesboro.
We're going back to August 28th, 1963. The famous I Have a Dream speech. This was an address that Dr. King made on the March on Washington, D.C. And you're hearing the actual group marching down the street, heading to that famous day, the famous moment for Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, right in front of the reflection pool.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Dr. King is going to share with us this morning his famous I Have a Dream speech. And we're going to be listening to that. A lot of you are so young you haven't heard this. A lot of you obviously don't remember 1963 or what was happening in America in 1963. But I think that some of these talks that we're hearing this morning, some of the step backs in time, thanks to recordings, will enable us to learn more about what our forefathers went through and how people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made a difference in what was happening in America then and how that has impacted the America in which we now live. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. played so much of a part in that. We are going to be having that address, I Have a Dream, from Dr. King in just a moment. We encourage you to stay with us and also to step back in time with us as we hear these talks that were held in Washington, D.C. with Dr. King.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a segment from his I Have a Dream speech. Today we are saluting Dr. King and all that he stood for, as this is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
In 1957, when I was 17 years old, I wrote Martin Luther King Jr. a letter, told him I wanted to attend a little college about 10 miles from my home, and this school didn't admit black students. He wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket and invited me to come to Montgomery to meet with him. But I went off to another school, and he got back in touch with me and suggested when I was home for spring break to come and see him. So in March of 1958, I traveled to Montgomery. I walked through the doors of this little church, and I saw Dr. King standing behind a desk. And he said to me, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" I was so scared, I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I said, "Dr. King, I'm John Robert Lewis." I gave my whole name. He was so inspiring. He was so moving. And somehow, in some way, I wanted to become part of that movement, and I did. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of service, and his day should be a day of service, not just a day of celebration, but a day on and not a day off. That we should find a way to encourage all Americans to go out and give something back.
That was John Lewis, and a tribute to Dr. King. Another one of his well-known talks, perhaps just equally as well-known, is the mountaintop speech. There are so many great talks that he gave, it's hard to say which one should we do, and we're trying to give a little of a lot of his most famous talks, because it's hard to believe there are many of you who were not around during Dr. King's lifespan and have no direct remembrance of Dr. King. And so in this program this morning, we're trying to give you a feeling of Dr. King and some of the things for which he stood, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is a portion of his I Have a Dream. I've been to the mountaintop.
And his eloquent and generous introduction, and then thought about myself, I wondered who he was talking about. It's always good to have your closest friend and associate to say something good about you. And Ralph Abernathy is the best friend that I have in the world. I'm delighted to see each of you here tonight in spite of a storm warning. You reveal that you are determined to go on anyhow. Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our world. And you know, if I was standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt. And I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness on toward the Promised Land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for whom I'm named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacks his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there.
I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation and come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land, confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. And another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we are going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with them. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That is where we are today. And also in the human rights revolution, if something isn't done and done in a hurry to bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of hurt and neglect, the whole world is doomed. Now, I'm just happy that God has allowed me to live in this period, to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in Memphis. I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, I can see why Jesus used this as the setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 1,200 miles, or rather 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 2,200 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road.
in the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the bloody paths. You know, it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his talk from April the 3rd of 1968. And I apologize for that abrupt ending on that, but that was one of those old speeches, and technically something happened at the end, and it was the entire speech was not there. But that does go back a few years. This is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day that we're commemorating Dr. King, and there will be a special march today here in Murfreesboro. And everyone is invited to be a part of this. It starts at 11:30 this morning at Central Magnet School. Starts at 11:30. That's when everyone gathers. It actually begins precisely at 12 noon. But I understand that with the cool weather, they have plenty of hot chocolate for everyone to sort of warm you up this morning. And that will begin at 11:30 at Central Magnet School. The march begins precisely at noon today and heads the short distance over to the Patterson Community Center, where there will be some special programs throughout the day at the Patterson Community Center. In addition to that, there will be special programs all through the day over at the Discovery Center at Murfree Spring. Stay with us. We will continue a tribute to Dr. King in just a moment.
Hi, this is Peter Demas, and I'm inviting you to come eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
If you're on a diet, Demas is for you.
And then we also created a one-page menu. One side is for all our low-carb options, and one side's all our low-calorie options. I always find it frustrating when I'm dieting. I go to a restaurant, I'm trying to find something that I think is low calorie or low carb, and I realize I went way over my calories thinking I was eating good. I'd like to invite you to come to our Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, which is located on 1115 Northwest Broad Street, Demas's Restaurant.
This is Sheila from Ryan Flowers and Gifts. We've been here in Murfreesboro for over 70 years. If you ever need anything for any particular occasion, please give us a call. We have items starting out at $35 for your funeral needs. We also have your tapestries, your angels, churches, books of love for anything that you may need for that special loved one who has passed on. Ryan's Flowers and Gifts is located at 117 South Academy Street. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
We'll see sunny skies developing in our forecast today with an afternoon high temperature in the lower 40s. And expect partly cloudy conditions tonight with lows near 17 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now, it's 28.
What's in a dream? It's different for everyone, and that's where your neighbors at Wilson Bank and Trust can help you. As your local hometown bankers, our kids go to school together, we see you at church, out shopping, we get to know you, and we're here with a loan to help you reach your dreams. I'm Barry Buckley, Southern Regional President of Wilson Bank and Trust, inviting you to allow us to help you reach your dream. Wilson Bank and Trust, still here, still independent, still committed to you. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
I can a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
I was one of four 6-year-old children, girls, to integrate the public school system here in New Orleans in 1960. Well, being six and not really understanding what was going on at the time during the Civil Rights Movement, my parents didn't explain anything to me. I always say to people that it would be really, really hard to explain to a 6-year-old child what I was about to encounter going to school that day. So the only thing that they said to me is that you are going to go to a new school and you better behave. And that was the extent of it. So I had absolutely no idea what was happening at the time. I began to realize how important my walk through those doors back in 1960 was in probably about the 80s. I was, I believe, 17 or 18 years old when I was asked to to do an interview, and the reporter showed me a copy of the Norman Rockwell painting. Even though I was accustomed to looking at old magazines and Eyes on the Prize and seeing all that footage, I understood that it was important, but it didn't really hit me until I saw the Norman Rockwell painting. And I realized that it wasn't something that just happened in New Orleans, but it was something that people all across the country, all across the world, actually recognized, especially through the painting. And I always say that the lesson I took away was a lesson that Dr. King tried to teach all of us. And that was that we should never look at a person and judge them by the color of their skin. That is the lesson that I learned in that classroom at 6 years old, simply because I crossed a picket line, a mob, every day for a whole year. They were all white, screaming, yelling, threatening to harm me. And yet every day when I entered the building, there was a woman there to greet me, and she was also white. And I remember not really knowing what to expect from her, if she was going to be exactly like the people outside. But she did everything she could to make my day filled with fun. And I loved learning. She not only taught me, but she read stories to me. We played games and we did music and everything. To the point that I never missed a day that whole year. I knew that if I got past the mob and inside of the building, I was going to have a great day. And it was because of her. So she showed me her heart. And I began to realize that there was no way she was like the people outside. I couldn't judge her the same way. And so I believe at that moment, I learned the lesson that Dr. King died trying to teach us. And that is, as I said, you cannot look at a person and judge them by the color of their skin. That shaped me into who I am today.
That was Ruby Bridges. It was 1963 that Dr. King led a coalition of numerous civil rights groups in a nonviolent campaign aimed at Birmingham, Alabama, which at the time was described as the most segregated city in America. Later that same year, 1963, Dr. King was one of the driving forces behind the March for Jobs and Freedom, more commonly called the March on Washington. The following year, 1964, at 35 years of age, Martin Luther King Jr. became the youngest person to win the Nobel Prize. Also in 1964, partly due to the March on Washington, Congress passed the landmark Civil Rights Act, essentially eliminating legalized racial segregation in the United States. Later in 1968, April the 4th, 1968, Dr. King was assassinated at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. A tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day.